Thank you. Let's welcome our speaker today, Joan Watson. She's here to speak to us today about prayer. I think everybody knows Joan. So please make her feel welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I'm Joan Watson, and for those of you who don't know me, I'm the Director of Faith Formation for the diocese, and I was glad that Sister Miriam said that I was like family, because that's how I feel, especially with the Dominicans. My sister's a Dominican, and I know so many of you. It was really good to walk in this room and see all the familiar faces again. I know we're just happy to be together. At least that's the way I feel. It's good to see people, to see the whites of your eyes, even if I can't see your smiles. So it is strange teaching people in masks. I gave a talk at St. Philip to the parents, and I was like, what are they thinking in there? Are they smiling? I can't tell. So I'll just imagine you all are smiling, and it's really good to be with you. I want to start with a reading from St. Mark's Gospel. Sister asked me to speak about prayer, and nothing was really coming to me. This happens a lot when I know there's something there, and I just don't trust the Holy Spirit enough. And so I said, okay, Sister, I'll come up with something, right? And so I looked at some of the other talks I've given and some of the other things I've written, and nothing was coming. And then Pope Francis had a beautiful reflection at his Wednesday audience this week. And I thought, well, that's it. And the Holy Spirit really spoke through him, I think, at that moment. So what I'm going to be doing today is using some of Pope Francis's reflections and then interspersing my own. So to start, I want to read from his Urbi et Orbi address a little bit that he gave in March. I don't know if you were able to see that, but it was in the height of the COVID crisis in Italy. And he gave this really beautiful address and really beautiful blessing with the Eucharist over Rome. And if you haven't seen footage of that, it was just really striking. And I think it will be kind of one of the hallmarks of his papacy. And he gave a beautiful, beautiful address. So I want to kind of speak about that. And before he gave the address, he read from the Gospel of Mark. So I'm going to start with prayer and read from that same passage and then launch into this talk today. It'll be dark soon enough. So, it'll be dark in about 5 minutes. So, but I'll launch into the address today that I want to give about prayer in the storm. So let's pray together from Mark's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Lord, we come before you this afternoon, and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this time to pray together, to study together, to contemplate your face so that we may go out and share with others the fruit of that contemplation. We ask you to bring peace both in our own hearts, peace in our families, peace in our country, and peace into our world that's hurting so much. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I've kind of been feeling in a little bit of a funk lately. And I imagine many of you may have found yourself in kind of the same little funk, whether it's from March or the last few weeks or since the summer. And while we all have our individual unique crosses right now, I think we share crosses as well. And in the midst of the funk, as I mentioned, I decided to go back and reread the Holy Father's Urbi et Orbi address that he gave that night in March. And I was glad I did. And again, I encourage you to go back and read it. It only takes, if you print it out, it's only the front and back piece, one piece of paper. He starts out by, again, reading this passage from Mark, and then he says, "When evening had come," the gospel passage we have just heard begins like this. "For weeks now, it has been evening. Thick darkness has gathered over our squares, our streets, and our cities. It has taken over our lives, filling everything with a deafening silence and a distressing void that stops everything as it passes by. We feel it in the air. We notice it in people's gestures. Their glances give them away. We find ourselves afraid and lost. Like the disciples in the gospel, we were caught off guard by an unexpected turbulent storm. We have realized that we are all on the same boat, all of us fragile and disoriented, but at the same time important and needed, all of us called to row together, each of us in need of comforting the other. On this boat are all of us. And just like those disciples who spoke anxiously with one voice saying, 'We are perishing,' we too have realized that we cannot go on thinking of ourselves, but only together we can do this." And I remember listening to his address. He goes on, that's just kind of his opening phrase. And I remember listening to his address and being struck by an implication that he makes later on, that the pandemic is not ultimately the darkness. That ultimately the pandemic that we face is not ultimately the evening, the darkness, the storm, but that it simply exposed the darkness that we've already been living with for some time, that it exposed our vulnerabilities. He speaks about the fact that this whole thing exposed the fact that we were living for the wrong reasons, that we had made the wrong things our priorities. He said it shows us that we've allowed to become dull and feeble, right? That we've constructed this false sense of security, this false sense of identity. He said the tempest lays bare all our prepackaged ideas and forgetfulness of what really nourishes our soul. We had it all wrong. And it's not so much that COVID did this, but that it's exposed this. And I think a little bit about the situation in our church parishes today, that there are many reasons why people aren't in the pews at Sunday Mass. And some people are genuinely at risk, right? Some people cannot come back to Mass because they're in a risk group. But I think some people just aren't going to come back. Some people have decided that they've lived just fine the last few months without the church, and they're not coming back. And it worries me. It terrifies me. As director of faith formation, that's what keeps me up at night. That what have we done? And again, it's not COVID. COVID just accelerated what our church was facing in this country and especially in Europe. The people had just found themselves in a routine. And when that routine was disrupted, they realized, well, I didn't really get much out of Mass anyway. And nobody really noticed that I was there, and nobody notices that I'm gone, and so I'm not coming back. And that worries me. And again, it wasn't COVID. COVID just accelerated this. COVID just exposed this vulnerability. He has another theme that he says, you know, that this has woken us up because we've been living in this world. I love this sentence. He says, this really struck me when I was listening to it. I was at work and I think I was actually editing Mass for the bishop. Rick and I were talking about how Rick was like, I haven't seen you except on TV or on the internet. And I think I was actually editing Mass when he spoke these words. He said, "We carried on regardless, thinking we would stay healthy in a world that was sick." And I remember hearing the translation of that and really being struck that our world was sick. We just didn't realize it. Thinking we would stay healthy in a world that was sick. Now that we're in that stormy sea, we implore you, wake up. And something I got from this address and from his recent catechesis. So I mentioned that I had just read his catechesis from his Wednesday audience. He's been doing a catechesis on prayer. And he started those catechesis before the pandemic. And then, of course, his audiences were suspended during the pandemic. He came back after the pandemic to do audiences, and he spoke about the pandemic. And now he's resumed his catechesis on prayer. And one of the things that really struck me about all of this is that he just says, continue to implore the Lord to wake up. That's all we can do, is to continue to implore the Lord. And he said this desperate shout is not a sign that we've lost the faith, but a sign that we have faith. This prayer to the Lord that we need your help, it's not a sign that we've lost faith in him. It's a sign that we have faith in him, because we know he'll answer. It's when we stop praying, it's when we stop trying to wake him up, that's when we become complacent. That's when we become complacent with the darkness, when we've lost our faith. And so the first message, I think, is to keep shouting and to keep praying and to not get discouraged, because it can be so easy to be discouraged today. There's no reason to be discouraged, because the Lord is the Lord. Prayer in this moment, in this storm, I think this is an opportunity to make us better prayers, to pray better, to pray with more faith. Because there's two things that the Pope highlights in prayer, and one is humility and one is perseverance. The Catechism says that humility is the foundation of prayer. The Pope says in his one of his Wednesday audiences, prayer is born of the earth. Humble, humility, right? That's the word for humble, is literally of the dirt, right? The earth. It comes from our precarious state, from our continuous thirst for God. And he talks about the faith of Bartimaeus, that blind beggar on the side of the road that can't even see that Christ is coming, right? But just calls out to Christ again and again and again. And the Pope said he's always loved the image of Bartimaeus, because he just calls out in faith. He says faith, as we've seen with Bartimaeus, is a cry. Lack of faith is the suppression of that cry. And he goes through this whole thing with Bartimaeus, that the people who silence him are the ones that don't have faith. But when we cry out, when we implore, again, it's not a sign that we don't trust. It's a sign that we do trust, and that we trust that he'll listen. So that humility in prayer, that we go again and again and again, and the world would tell us that it's futile, right? The world would say, look at all those crazy Catholics who just think prayer is going to answer anything, right? But that humility just to go to the Lord again and again and again, to be that widow, right, that knocks on the door of the judge again and again and again, and the judge is like, oh, this crazy lady won't leave me alone. Isn't that funny that that's an image that the Lord gives us of prayer? And how much the Lord will answer us, because he's not a corrupt judge, right? He's a loving father. And so we, again, knock and knock and knock, and that shouldn't discourage us. But that's exactly what the Lord asks us to do. So to have that humility. So I think prayer in this moment is a prayer of humility. Lord, we have no control over what's going on right now. We don't have any control. And that can be a sign of discouragement. That can be great discouragement. Or we can say, you know what? This just means that we have to give it to the Lord. We just give it to the Lord. We can't do anything. You know, people all over the world lost, or all over the country at least, lost their minds these last few days. And I'm like, what can I do, right? I can't do anything. I can pray. And so just to go to the Lord in prayer. So humility in prayer. I think in this moment we can become better prayers because we're praying with humility. I don't have any idea what's going on, Lord, so I just pray, right? And we persevere. The Pope said Bartimaeus was a persevering man. He was surrounded by people who explained that imploring was useless, that clamoring without receiving a reply, that it was noise that was only bothersome, so please stop crying out. But he did not remain in silence, and in the end, he obtained what he wanted. And so we have this great opportunity today in this world to pray with perseverance, to pray with humility and to pray with perseverance, which are the hallmarks of true, faithful prayer. Another theme the Pope pulls out of how we approach the Lord is that even if we feel like we have flaws, he still wants to come to us. He still wants us to pray. He says we can ask God everything. We can explain everything. We can recount everything. It does not matter if we feel flawed in our relationship with God. If we're not good friends, if we're not grateful children, if we're not faithful spouses, he continues to love us. It is what Jesus shows definitively at the Last Supper. With that gesture in the upper room, Jesus foreshadows the mystery of the cross. God is faithful. If men and women cease to love him, he nevertheless continues to love, even if love leads him to Calvary. And so that idea that I haven't been perfect, you haven't been perfect, we've all messed up, we all find ourselves in this mess of a world, And the Lord continues to love us. He continues to want us to keep knocking on that door. So I think that can give us great hope. That can give us great encouragement. So we see from the Pope's catechesis on prayer that we need to be humble, we need to be persevering, that this time of darkness does not lead us to despair, but leads us to greater faith. And I think that's the important thing that we have to bring out during this time. I forget who I was talking to recently, and they said, you know, this is just a chance to become saints. That's all this is. And when we face crisis, whether it's crisis in our church, which we're going to be reminded of this coming week when the McCarrick Report is released, I mean, that it's being released this week, it's going to be nasty, it's going to be awful, and we as Catholics have to say, yeah, this is the church I love, right? Think about how it is working for the church, right? You're like, yeah, this is what I love. This is the church I want you to join, right? I'm like, oh, great, this week's going to be a doozy. But it's going to be dark. It's going to be messy, right? Whether it's our church, whether it's our world. And the devil wants us to say, you're right, this is all a mess. I'm peace out, right? I'm done. I'm done with the church. I'm done with the hierarchy. I'm done with the bishops. I'm done with our country. I'm done with the government. I'm going to go move to Bermuda and set up a little shack and see y'all later, right? How many of us have thought of that in the last month, right? Yes. Peace out. I'm done, right? We have to look at this time in the church. We have to look at this time in the country. We have to look at this time in our world as a time to become saints. Great saints were made at times like these. And we love to read the stories, you know? You love to read the stories of the saints and be like, wow, they were really heroic when it was really a mess. You don't ever want to live it, though, right? Like, you're like, wow, Catherine of Siena. Wow, she's my hero. I don't want to be Catherine of Siena, right? Like, I it's great to read the saint stories, but none of us want to live those stories. But here we are, right? In the book of Esther, there's that beautiful quote, like, this is for what you were born for. Maybe you were born for such a time as this. And I think all of us in this room have to recognize we all we can do is pray. And that's a great thing. That's what's going to change the world. And it's not prayer out of despair. It's prayer out of faith. To say, okay, Lord, you put me in this country. You put me in this church in 2020. And I'm going to become a saint and I'm going to get everybody else around me to heaven. That's a great opportunity. So you may be asking a simple question. Okay, so you say to pray, Joan, but I find it really hard to pray right now. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're in a really great place in your spiritual life and I'm happy with that, right? Maybe you're getting all the warm, fuzzy emotions when you're praying. Maybe you find yourself perfectly recollected. I don't right now, right? Like right now, it's a struggle sometimes to say, okay, I'm going to go pray and I might not feel anything, but I trust that he's there, right? So if you're at that moment, the Pope gave 4 tips of ways to pray at his audience this Wednesday. And I read these, and this is when I emailed Sister Miriam, and I said, I got my talk, because the Pope already wrote it. This is great, right? So how do we have the strength to pray during this time? How do I find the recollection to pray during this time in the storm, right? We find ourselves in the storm. We are on the boat. And you can read Mark 4 again and again and put yourself in that boat, because that's where we are. And if any of you, is anybody from the Navy here? Do we have any Navy veterans? Oh, okay. Well, the Navy they have the saying, don't give up the ship. It's a really famous Navy. They have a big flag that's, you know, gone through battle. Don't give up the ship. And I remember I was at the Naval Academy. A friend of mine teaches at the Naval Academy. And I saw that flag, and it was in the middle of a kind of a dark time. And I was like, that's the church, right? Don't give up the ship. Don't give up the ship, right? No matter what comes out this week about the church, don't give up the ship. So we're all on this boat, right? We're all on the boat of Peter, and there's a storm. How can I pray in the storm? If you've ever seen, there's this beautiful painting by Rembrandt of Jesus calming the storm, and it's a beautiful painting. It's on the wall of my office, and people always comment on it, and I'm like, yeah, that's on my wall of the office for a reason. It's not a coincidence that that's the painting on my office wall. But Jesus is asleep, and Rembrandt has all these apostles, right? And all the apostles are doing something different. They're the ones that are, like, trying to, you know, adjust the sails, and there's the one that are trying to wake up Jesus, and there's the one that's, like, throwing up over the side of the boat, right? And Rembrandt wants you to find yourself in that image. He wants you to find yourself in those apostles. And you're one of those apostles at different, you're a different apostle at different times in your life, right? Sometimes you're trying to wake up Jesus. Sometimes you forget Jesus is there and you're trying to solve the problem by messing with the sails. Sometimes all you can do is throw up over the side of the boat, right? We're all in the boat. How do we pray in the midst of the storm? So the Holy Father gave us four tips in his latest audience. The first tip, he says, is to do it at the beginning of the day. Now, I'm a morning person, so I loved this advice. I think I've kind of made myself be a morning person, but people who aren't morning people say that you can't make yourself a morning person. You're either a morning person or you're not. But I'm a morning person. Once I get out of bed, I am ready. Like, people don't like me in the morning because I'm talking and I'm happy. I love praying in the morning. When we go on pilgrimage, I'm always up early and I'm like exploring the city before the city wakes up because that's the best time to see the city. Like, I love mornings. So maybe you aren't a morning person. I still say follow the Pope's advice. Pray at the beginning of the day. Now, if you're not a morning person, maybe you're not going to do the bulk of your prayer at the beginning of the day. But he says, make prayer the first thing you do. He says that it's the first desire of the day, something that's practiced at dawn before the world awakens. So whether you do it first or not, you have to make it a priority. And I really think that's what he's saying here. And I know in some ways I'm speaking to the choir. The saints all seem to agree, too. Begin your day with prayer. Peter Julian Amard said, in order to succeed in prayer, it should be done when we first awaken, when our whole being is calm and recollected. We need to make our meditation before anything else. Now, maybe that means before you even get out of bed, right? You open your eyes and you just thank the Lord for the day. But I would go a little farther and say, I think you need to do some more structured prayer, right? Maybe it means getting your cup of coffee. This is what I do, so I always recommend it. When you get your cup of coffee, that's when you pray, do your spiritual reading. Maybe that's when you pray morning prayer, right? So to do it early, maybe it's not exactly the very first thing you do, but to put it as the priority of your morning. Young moms always look at me like I'm crazy, right? Like, I can't pray at the beginning of the day. Like, well, maybe you need to wake up earlier than your kids. I know that's easy for me as a single person to say, but when we schedule that into our lives, when we make that a priority, that's when the Lord wants to talk to us. Francis says, by putting prayer first, the struggles of our day, the obstacles of our day, they're not actually obstacles, but they become prayers. He says, I love it. He says, the obstacles become appeals from God himself to listen to and encounter those who are in front of us. So actually, he says kind of the opposite, not that they become prayers, but that they become messages from God about who needs us and where we should be listening and where we should be serving. And I love that image that if you start with prayer, the rest of your day becomes this message from God. He says they become opportunities to grow in faith and charity. And who doesn't need that perspective, right? That those who are in front of us, whether they're crosses, obstacles, become opportunities. So he said, begin with prayer and transform the day in that way. So four tips. One, do it first. Two, and again, I know in some ways I'm speaking to the choir, especially those of you who prayed the Divine Office every day. But still, like, I think this is important for all of us to hear again and again. The second tip he says is to schedule it. And Pope Francis says, you know, there's always this impromptu prayer that comes when we're in distress. You know, that when the storm really hits, we cry out. And he said, those are beautiful prayers too. But he said, really, prayer needs to be part of your rule of life, part of your routine. So sporadic prayer is beautiful, but he says the prayer that really causes transformation in our life is that consistent scheduled prayer, that discipline of prayer. And again, I know as Dominican laity, you know, to have that rule of life and that idea that when you pray the Divine Office, right, when you're going to meditate, when you're going to pray the rosary, to really schedule it and make it that priority. Number three, the Pope says that communal prayer is important, but that we need prayer in silence and solitude. So communal prayer is important. We all felt its absence during the suspension of public mass. You know, I never really craved here. You know, so I have to admit, when you go to daily mass, you get really used to quiet mass, right? You get really used to, like, maybe this is just exposing my fallen nature, but you get really used to, like, having your own prayer at daily mass. Like, everything's quiet, and you're kind of, you know, there's, like, not that many other people in church, and it's almost like you're on your own little retreat. And then you go to Sunday mass, and you're like, who are all these people, and why don't they know what they're doing, and why is the music so loud, and I just want everyone to go away, right? Am I the only one that thinks like that? Maybe. So I have to admit, like, I never thought I would crave that. And I love parish mass, okay? Don't get me wrong. But when we didn't have it, I was like, I just want to hear, like, bad music and a kid crying and, a you know, somebody singing off key next to me, right? Like, that's all I wanted. I just wanted to be with people and to pray with them, you know? Again, you might be looking at me and be like, wow, she needs a lot of work before she gets to heaven. But so we all know communal prayer is important, and we felt it. We felt its absence. But private prayer in solitude is really vital to hear the voice of God. So it's interesting because the Holy Father doesn't say, you know, you all need to go out on a silent retreat and be alone. He's actually speaking about that inner life, like cultivating that inner solitude in prayer, that ability to retreat into yourself and find that inner life in prayer, even when you're surrounded by distraction and when you're surrounded by life. And so I thought that was interesting. When he talks about silence and solitude, he makes it clear that it's not really a fleeing from the world, but an ability to bring that world to God. And so he talks about the inner life, and he says, without the inner life, we become superficial, agitated, and anxious. I'm like, oh, I'm really anxious, so clearly I have no inner life, right? Become superficial, agitated, and anxious. How anxiety harms us. This is why we must go to pray. Without an inner life, we flee from reality. So I think that's interesting, because I think most people would say, you know, in prayer, we're fleeing from reality. He's like, no, without prayer, right? Without that inner grounding, that's when we flee from reality, and we also flee from ourselves. He said, we are men and women always on the run. And you see this with someone who might not have a deep prayer life. They're filling their life with distraction and noise, partly because they don't want to face reality, themselves, and God, right? But when we have that inner life, we come face to face with God. Again, not just, you know, and I think retreats are great, like silent retreats are fantastic. But he's not talking just about that. He's talking about that daily inner life of cultivating that peace with God, that we bring him the distractions, we bring him the obstacles, and he transforms them and gives us that peace that only he can give. So it's bringing the mess and noise to him, that inner life. So do it first, schedule it, find that peace and solitude and silence so that you can cultivate that inner life of God. And then lastly, he reminds us to keep our focus on God. So that perspective of prayer. Ultimately, this life isn't about you. You're not in control. I think that's one thing that COVID has taught us all. That's one thing the world doesn't even want to admit about the pandemic, right? That's what I think really agitated the world about the pandemic, is because guess what? We're not in control. Nobody wants to face that, right? No one wants to face that. They don't want to face death. They don't want to face lack of control. They want everything neat and tidy. And guess what? It's not. Life isn't. And that's what we had to face, right? So you aren't in control. And our place of prayer, or our prayer has to be a place where we surrender to God, where we surrender to his will. And it's only there that we'll find peace. As the Pope said in the Urbi et Orbi that night, the storm of the pandemic has reminded us of this. He says, the storm exposes our vulnerability and it uncovers those false and superfluous certainties around which we have constructed our daily schedules, our projects, our habits, and our priorities, right? We have had life in order. I know what I'm doing and I know what everyone else is doing. Nope, right? The Lord's in control. People are going to get sick. Our loved ones are going to get sick. We're going to get sick. But the Lord's in control. And so it shouldn't bring us anxiety. It should just lead us to surrender. So our perspective was all wrong, right? That's why we were trying to live in this sick world. Our perspective was all wrong. We can't save ourselves. The world can't save us. No government can save us. No vaccine can save us. God can save us. Only God can save, and he's ultimately all we need. And so you might find prayer very difficult right now. And perhaps you might even be tempted to say, what difference is it making? People are always saying, pray, 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 but I'm looking around and the world is still going to hell in a handbasket, right? Or maybe you're fine. Like, maybe you have consolation, and maybe you're like, Joni, you're talking to some, I don't know who you're talking to, because I feel great, right? The world's great. Okay, come talk to me after the talk and tell me that everything's going to be fine, right? So maybe you just find it hard to recollect sometimes, right? Maybe you have a hard time kind of separating from the anxiety of the world to enter into that real inner peace and inner life. But you can find consolation in the words of Pope St. Paul VI, who said, quote, if you have lost the taste for prayer, you will regain the desire for it by returning humbly to its practice. Again, that idea of humility, right? So if you find prayer hard, go do it. Do it again. And take that to the Lord as your sacrifice and say, you know, I'm having a hard time concentrating. I'm having a hard time meditating. I'm having a hard time not being anxious, but I bring that to you. And I'm going to do this, right? I'm going to say evening prayer tonight. And my mind might be a million different places, but I bring that to you, right? I'm going to say the rosary, and I'm going to give it to you that you're going to do something with it, even though I don't feel it. And that, I think, is actually the most valuable prayer. I think those are the prayers that make our Lord very, very happy. So there's a storm, and some days we may feel like Jesus is sleeping. But all he asks, really, is that we have the faith to cry out to him. That's all he asks. Cry out to me and give me your anxieties and give me your distress and hand over your fear. The Pope said in the Urbi et Orbi, let us hand over our fears to him so that he can conquer them. Let us hand over our fears to him so that he can conquer them. Again, that perspective. Who's in charge? Thankfully, not me, right? The Lord's in charge. I want to end with this, the way he ended his Urbi et Orbi, with this prayer. He says, Lord, may you bless the world, give health to our bodies, and comfort our hearts. You ask not to be afraid. You ask us not to be afraid, yet our faith is weak and we are fearful. But you, Lord, will not leave us at the mercy of the storm. Tell us again, do not be afraid. And we, together with Peter, cast all our anxieties onto you, for you care about us. Amen.